Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on episode 26, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. Well, another heavy Warriors defeat, but they weren't alone with several teams being blown off the park. But how was your weekend?
Yeah, my weekend was good. Thanks, Brad. Pleasure to be with you as always. Yeah, not the best for us, obviously, but you're right. We weren't alone. It seemed like nearly every game was a blowout. So, yeah, maybe the cream just rising to the top.
Yeah, all but two. All but two were blowouts this week. But yeah, I'm looking forward to you having to tell us all the try scorers.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's going to be a busy night. But while we're here live on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m., you can also catch our show via our podcast on iHeartRadio at your convenience. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know in the week that was Rugby League, including our top stories of the week, a review of round 23 and our picks. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as questions that we've got for each other. We'll then preview round 24 and make our picks before ending the night with a recap of Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and hopefully we can answer them as best as possible. And we may as well jump straight into the top stories of the week.
Yep, Richie. Let's.
First one, not really much of a surprise. We have got the Panthers have secured the 2022 Minor Premiership. And after their win in the week just gone, and they'll be presented the shield after their match against the Warriors this week. So, yeah, if there's ever a bit of encouragement for the Panthers to try to man up and play the Mighty Warriors, you know, that's going to help them. They just like sticking the knife into Warriors, I think, right now. But well done for getting the Minor Premiership. That by no means guarantees you winning the whole thing. As we know, Melbourne were the minor premiers last year and didn't make the final. But Panthers, I think, are still instead, right, to go all the way. But, yeah, well done on them before we move on. And next bit I had, we talked about it last week, about the grand final and where they weren't sure where it was going to be played. It's now been confirmed it's going to be at a Coors Stadium in Sydney this year. But Peter Valandis has admitted that he's looking at following the NFL Super Bowl concept and moving the grand final to different cities each year, where cities can make a bid to host and the biggest bid wins. What's your thoughts on that, Richie?
I don't mind it, mate. I know you and I, you've, I think off air we were talking about it last week, and you said that's something you would you would be pretty keen on seeing. I know you're a bit of an NFL fan, so yeah, it'd be cool. It's something different. I don't know if that will ever come to fruition. You know, they probably likely stay in the big stadiums in Sydney or Queensland, where they know they'll get guaranteed a lot of revenue.
Yeah, I'm sure in terms of being able to bid, that you're going to have certain curricula that you're going to have, like they'll have to have a certain amount of seats at said stadium and all the stuff that goes around it. So it will still possibly be down to only your big boppers, but it could open the doors to Perth, New Zealand.
Eden Park, Brad, Eden Park.
The probably Westpac Stadium or the one in Dunedin, anywhere but Eden Park. But any of those places that have those stadiums that can fill or have that many seats, if they're willing to pay the money, they will they'll be in there. Apparently, the politician that we talked about last week that kind of rejigged on the offer, apparently they tabled, it's rumored to be around $8 million to get the grand final there this year. So that's a lot of money.
It's not chump change.
So I still feel like it's going to be a between Brisbane and Sydney thing, but I know Perth are interested in trying to get more games there. But with Perth in New Zealand, it brings in the time zone type deal. Would they be willing to play the grand final at an earlier time for their viewers? Like, to play it at the time it normally is, you'd have to be playing it at like 10 o'clock at night in Auckland. So I don't see them doing that, but it's going to be interesting. I'm sure we'll be able to talk about it a lot more in depth next year when the pieces on the chessboard actually start moving. So we'll keep an eye on it and hopefully have some more info to bring in the upcoming weeks on how it goes in. But next bit of news, Trent Barrett has officially joined the Parramatta Eels as an assistant coach for 2023. And flowing on from that, Cameron Serraldo, the newly appointed Bulldogs coach, has said he's going to speak with Trent Barrett to ensure that he does not make the same mistakes that Trent did. So what's your takes on both that and Trent Barrett bringing his expertise to Parramatta?
Yeah, it's not bad for Parramatta. Trent obviously didn't handle the head coaching gig too well at the Bulldogs, albeit with a roster that probably was on a hiding to nothing anyway. But he's a proven assistant coach, so going to Parramatta, it's not a bad move on Parramatta's behalf. And Serraldo as well. I guess getting it from the horse's mouth, Trent Barrett, maybe where he feels it could have gone wrong. Can't hurt to seek out a bit of advice.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for Barrett. Good to see him back. I think I put him in the Stephen Kearney mold where
I think
they're fantastic assistants, but they just don't seem to be able to hit that head coach level. It is a hard job. But yeah, I think he'll do wonders with Parramatta there. And yeah, it seems smart from Serraldo to go to the guy that had the job before you and find out, you know, the ups and downs, and just so you don't make the same mistakes right out of the gate. Just seems like a smart way to do it. But good luck for Trent and Cameron. I hope he does well at the Bulldogs, but not too well as a Warriors fan. I'm still trying to throw this into the universe, but the Raiders are going against me here. The Raiders are confident that they're going to extend Joseph Tapani's time with the club. I'm still hoping that Cappy kind of whispers in his ear and says, you know, the Warriors would be a good place for you. But what's your take? Joseph's kind of gone to another level this year. What do you think? Do you think he'll be a Raider continuing, or will he use this newfound form to get a big deal elsewhere?
Taking it to another level this year, he definitely has. He's been tremendous. So I actually think he's moved past the dramas of last year too. Of course, last year there were moments during the season where he probably, you know, wasn't so happy there at the Green Machine, and his wife had things to say about the coaching and the selection policy. So looks like this year he's a lot happier and he's moved past that. So, you know, I get the feeling there's a good chance he stays there. He seems to be enjoying himself and playing well.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get into a bit of a, I don't really want to say funny, but James Tamo was sent off for swearing at referee Ben Cummings. And it had looked like he had played his last game. He's gone to the judiciary and fought the charges. He originally was going to get a two-match ban. He's managed to get it reduced to one. He's off contract with no offers currently on the table. Do you think he's going to find a club for next year? And what's your take on his actions in the Tigers game?
Not so sure. He's getting to the age now where you're not so sure he'll be offered something. It's possible. I'm not sure why the Tigers just don't throw him another year. I mean, they're a team that looks like they're lacking a lot of leaders. You could say what he did on the weekend probably wasn't top draw if you're a leader, but yeah, let's touch on that. So, yeah, obviously he called Ben Cummings effing incompetent. Some might say he was just telling the truth.
Valid claim.
Yeah, but... yeah. But the inconsistency of the judiciary again, really, hey, it's not too far away from what Brandon Smith said. Maybe Brandon Smith used the C word, called him a cheat, which probably makes it slightly more confronting if you're a referee. But yeah, he got a much harsher punishment, really.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, he got a lighter sentence due to the situation that he's been around for eons, and this potentially is his last hurrah.
But should that have any,
I don't think it should have any weight.
No.
I don't think it should have any weight, but it is, it's a gamble when it comes to judiciary. It depends who you are, who you play for, and what you did.
Yeah. Well, I think Cheese probably has slightly dirtier rap sheet too. I mean, he's got priors, and we know last year he was involved in scandals, so maybe Tamo's is down to him having a bit of a cleaner record.
Yeah, and I think we'll cover it later on in the match, but I think it was just a lot of frustration.
Brad's got all the priors.
I wouldn't last. I could not be an NRL player. There's too many replays of everything. I'd be spotted for everything I did. And I love back chatting to referees. So, time for me. But, yeah, we'll talk about it a bit later. And Jacko, said his clean record helped, which is true. He's kind of kept himself relatively out of drama. So I think that definitely helped him. But we'll go to the other end of the spectrum where we're going to, instead of looking at a player's indiscretion, look at fans. Young Rabbitoh winger Jackson Paulo has received death threats after his poor performance in the weekend just gone. The Rabbitoh CEO has urged him to take the matter to the police and said that if the individuals are identified, that he'll cancel their memberships. So I kind of looked at it. I felt like as a Warriors fan, we had a player doing a lot of the same stuff that Jackson Paulo did. And I personally didn't see anything that bad. There were very people upset with that player, who we're going to talk about later, but not to that extreme. I think we were saying some horrible things about our young fullback to each other, but nothing to that level. And definitely not something we would send a player. I think sending death threats over a game of footy is sending death threats in any manner, I think, is pretty bad from the thug of the show here. But yeah, what's your take on that whole situation?
Yeah, he had a pretty poor game, Jackson Paulo. Obviously, probably you could say almost cost him the game, but that's way over the top. And like you say, I mean, us as Warriors fans have choice words to say about some of our players, relatively frequently. So, but never to that extent. That's obviously way over the top. And yes, I did lose money at the TAB, unfortunately, on that game. $6 for the Warriors to win was a little too tempting.
And Jacko mentioned it. He said mixed gambling was sport, and you'll get idiots making threats against players when they lose their money.
Yeah.
And look, I am even too scared to look at the the bank balance on how much money collectively I've lost over the Warriors over the years, but I've never gone to that point where I've blamed them. It's called gambling for a reason. You know, you're risking money on a game that you don't know the outcome of. So yeah, you should never go that far. And hopefully he does take it forward. He's been dropped this week. They said it wasn't due to just his form, but you know, the mental toll this week has taken on him. So yeah, I wish him well. You know, it didn't take long. It's only been a couple of weeks since the passing of Paul Green for everyone to go back to normal. And it's sad to even call it normal, to be honest. But and yeah, Jacko's advice is to stop gambling. It doesn't pay over a lifetime.
Sound advice, Jacko.
I haven't. I depleted my TAB account some weeks ago, and I haven't put money in there again. So I have held off, but I have a feeling it will come back come finals time or next season. depends how confident I feel of the Warriors. But we'll move on from that to the Titans. The Titans have rumored to have offered David Fifita another two-year deal worth $750K a year, and they've also tabled the idea of moving him to lock. What's your take on it's a lesser deal than what he was on before? But what's your idea both on offering him a two-year deal and potentially moving him to lock, where they've kind of got a guy there that's been doing a great job already?
Mm. I still kind of think even 750K a year is slightly overs. If you're going to judge it on output, you got to ask yourself, do the few flashy tries he scores per year equate to that kind of money? Personally, I'd say no, but... moving to lock, I'm not so sure either. I kind of thought, yeah, maybe, possibly, because I thought front rower might even be another good option, get his hands on the ball a bit more. Obviously, he's going to bend the line, no doubt about that. And more involvements he gets got to be good for the Titans, surely.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm super hypocritical here from my stellar playing career, but I think he's too lazy to be a lock. It would be like throwing me there, you know. I'll do something here or there, but you look at the top locks in the NRL right now, they're workhorses. You know, they're workhorses that have a bit of flair. And he's got the flair part down, but he's not a workhorse. He'll, you know, have one or two moments, which isn't what a lock is, which is why you've seen Big Tino grow there, because that's what he is. He just gets in the grit and just goes, which is kind of what you need as a lock. So we'll see what happens if it eventuates, but I don't think it's a good move. I personally, if I was the Titans, I'd be looking at spending that $750,000 elsewhere and just, you know, letting Fifita go. Because you can't say he's turned this club around.
No, not at all. And I like what you say about lock probably being a bit too busy of a position for him. I mean, look at some of the best locks running around at the moment too. They also carry a lot of ball playing, like Isaiah Yeo, Cam Murray, Victor Radley. So I know there's more than one way to skin a cat in terms of playing style, but the way the game's played today, I just don't think it suits him.
Yeah, but look, you watch, he'll start as lock next year and be the best player in the NRL and make us look silly.
Probably.
So who knows? But moving on to the Broncos, Tyson Gamble has reportedly asked for a release from the club, and the Knights are favoured to pick him up if his release is granted. Kind of not surprising. Gamble was kind of the talk of the town last year. He's kind of fell away a bit with all the other players that are there. You throw in Reece Walsh, who's coming back. Do you see? I don't really see a spot in the game day for Gamble where I think he would slot straight into a Knights team right now with how poor they've been. But what's your take? Do you think the Knights will take a gamble on Gamble?
Nice.
Or will Bronco? I stole that, so I will claim it. But or do you think the Broncos want to go, no, we're going to keep you?
The Knights could do worse than chasing Tyson Gamble. They're seriously lacking in their halves. And Tyson's a sound player. Is he going to fix all their problems? Probably not. I think they need a really dominant seven. They miss that, kind of like what Mitchell Pearce used to give to them, that real dominant playmaking seven. And Tyson's a sound player, but I almost prefer him at six because he's solid defender, decent running game, tough. But I don't think he's really an out-and-out game-controlling seven, which the Knights are really lacking.
Yeah. Definitely. Continuing the halves talk, Mitchell Moses and Dylan Brown from the Eels are apparently going to test their value on the market come the 1st of November. So the Knights may want to hold on to their money right now and potentially throw an offer at Dylan Brown at least. They don't really want a flat track bully like Mitchell. But what's your take? Do you think the Eels could potentially lose one or both of their halves?
Potentially, mate. If they're wanting to test the open market, the Eels are going to have to stump up some money to keep those guys together because, like you say, clubs like the Knights are going to be circling who really need halves. And how much better would the Knights look if you threw – I know you like to joke about Mitch Moses, but he is a game-managing seven with a bit of flair. Throw him in the Knights, or even Dylan Brown. Imagine a spine with Dylan Brown and Kalen Ponga. Immediately, they look a lot better. So. Yeah. I bet there's going to be teams willing to throw some coin their way.
It's going to be interesting come 1st of November with a lot of big names going around. Unfortunately, my question was going to be about a front rower to come to the Warriors, but I looked at who's off contract and there isn't really any big names. So I took that question away. But we'll move on. The NRL are planning on bringing out the Super League champions next year to revive the World Club Challenge as part of the NRL preseason. I like the idea. I don't know if it's going to work this year with the World Cup. I don't know if the Super League teams would be willing to come all the way over. Jacko mentioned Brown turned down big overs offer from the Warriors a while ago and now is looking at offers. I think it's just due to it being the Warriors, to be honest.
Yeah, he's probably wanting to win games.
I think with how he's been playing now as well, if he goes to market, he could potentially end up at any club. Any club would probably be willing to take him. And Simon says the World Cup Challenge is a waste of time. So what's your take on it, Richie? Would you like the idea of the World Club Challenge coming back? Or do you just not want to watch cricket scores getting put on the Super League teams?
Yeah, I mean, from that point of view, Simon's probably right. It probably would be cricket scores, the state the game is over there. It's still entertaining to watch, but not of the same quality. You throw up even probably the best team over in the Super League and put them against the best team over here. It's not going to be competitive unless the NRL team's resting a lot of players.
That's generally what it is. You think if it's, say it's Penrith, that go through and win this whole thing, and it's St. Helens over there. The top guys in St. Helens and the top guys in Penrith will probably still be on holiday after competing at the World Cup because basically all their top guys will be playing in the World Cup. Some of them will go reasonably deep into the World Cup. So you'd end up having a lot of the B grades, no disrespect for them, but it'd be them all playing, and then what's really the point? So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it's generally very heavily one-sided, so it's not that enjoyable to watch. And unless Wigan's involved, I'm not really that interested because the Warriors haven't been in one. So if Wigan win the whole thing this year, I'll have a different opinion. but, yeah, the next bit of news is going to Melbourne Storm. They announced that they were going to release some signings today. They then changed it and said there were going to be 5 signings and they were going to do them starting from 3 p.m. Australian time and then every hour announce one, which is great when we've got a show because we don't have them all. I've got the first 4 because the 4th one got announced just as we went live. But the first 4 are all 1-year extensions. The first was George Jennings. The second was Dean Iremia. The third was Jaden Nikarima, and then they just announced that Grant Anderson has extended as a 1-year deal as well. So nothing really big time. I know you said before we went live that, you know, they're saving Cameron Munster to the end. There's rumors that he potentially could be going to the Dolphins. still, as we talked about last week. But do you think the fifth one that will be 9 o'clock our time will be Cameron Munster? Put your name on the dotted line right now while everyone's listening.
No, I'm going to go a classic fence sit position here, and possibly, like, I think they would save a bigger one for last, surely, wouldn't they, if they're going to do five over a few hours to try and build drama. But, yeah, I don't know. There'll be plenty of money the Dolphins are throwing Munster's way. The longer it goes on, the more I think that's a pretty viable option for him.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's going to be a short show, as you said before the show, that we won't be still on at 9 o'clock, but so we won't be able to talk about it. But there is that. And then, look, teams trying to build up Rasmus around re-signing. Like, seriously, if you say don't say it's a signing when it's a re-signing. People, if you say signing, yeah, it's a new team. If it's going to be an existing player or an extension, then it's a re-signing. Stop saying, yeah, stop trying to build up this kind of like, oh, it's a signing. No, it's not. It's just the same player doing the same old thing. Jeez. Not a fan.
I feel the same. Like when I went on to get the first one and it was like a 1 year extension to George Jennings, I was like, ah, okay. Yeah. I had the same opinion that Paul did. It was like, oh, when they said they were announcing signings, technically it is a signing, but I was expecting something a bit different. I'll try to push the show out a little bit so we can get the last one, you know, but we'll see what happens.
We're going to be here till 9:30 just reading out the try scorers from the review.
But that was all I really had on the news. We did have the announcement for the Ken Stephen Medal contenders, so I should give them some respect and say their names. These are the players that are recognised for their contribution to off the field to community service, and that's not punishment enforced community service. It's actually like doing it yourself. So we got 13 players from the Broncos. We have Deleuze Hoyter, I think is how you say his name. I'm going to butcher a lot of these names, I'm sure. The Bulldogs, we had Raymond Falatai Mariner. Cowboys was the Hammer, Hamiso Tabarafadou. The Eels was Dylan Brown. Knights was Jaden Braley. Panthers was Stephen Crichton. Rabbitohs, Cody Walker. Roosters, Angus Crichton. Seagulls, Sean Kippy. Sharks, Nico Hines. Storm, Christian Welsh. Titans, Brian Kelly. And Tigers, Luke Garner. So, you know, three teams didn't make the cut, with the Warriors being one of them. But, yeah, it's, I guess, yeah, it is what it is. So what will happen for people that don't know is that is the official Ken Stephen team. And then there'll be one of these 13 players will win the medal of being the top guru of community service. So we'll have that later in a couple of weeks when they actually announce it, but thought I'd better give them props before we move on. Well done to all those guys. Good to see some good happening in the community when it comes to NRL.
Since the team of them, should they take on a team of the guys who got the most fines and biggest suspensions during the year? Good guys
team
versus
thug.
Bad guys.
Team thug.
Yeah. Oh, I reckon that'd be a great way.
Yeah, Team Thug.
Yeah, great idea. I'll email Peter Valandis after the show and put that out there. But we'll go. That was all the news I had. So we'll move into the injury ward. There's only four that I picked out of a whole lot. So the first one we had was Tom Dearden. He had surgery on a testicle, which he ruptured during the Cowboys win over the Warriors. The club's hopeful he'll return for the finals, but he is going to miss this week. So it's a bit copycat of old Dearden Richie, copying Chanel there. But
yeah, isn't it?
You didn't notice, to be honest. He played quite well. And then the next one we had was Aaron Clark from the Titans. He's going to miss the rest of the season after suffering a knee injury. Ruben Garrick's been added to the extended list of season-ending injuries at the Seagulls. He injured his shoulder. And Raider Ryan Sutton's going to miss the rest of the season after injuring a ligament in his hand. Suppose most of these injuries are going to be season enders now with only 2 weeks to go, Richie.
Yeah, you're right.
A sprained ankle is a season ender nowadays for teams in the finals.
Yeah. But yeah, So that was the big ones. There was a few others with strains and stuff, but these were the main big ones. So that will take me to my favorite part, which is the Naughty Boy Corner. We've got a couple that got suspensions this week, which is always good. Start off with the big bopper, Francis Molo from the Dragons. He got a grade 3 careless high tackle, which sees him miss 4 matches. So obviously the final 2 rounds of this year and then the first 2 rounds of next year.
What do you think of that one?
I'll cover it later. I've got notes. Moses Imbai from the Dragons also.
They missed preseason games on top of that as well.
They don't count preseason, I believe. So it'll be the rounds 1 and 2. Moses Imbai from the Dragons, he's got 2 matches for a grade 2 careless high tackle. So his season is done. And then James Tamo, as we mentioned already, he's got one match ban for telling a few honest truths to a referee. then we'll go into our fines. So we got Josh Maguire, also from the Dragons. He got a grade 1 dangerous contact and got a $1,000 fine. Tavita Pangai Jr. got an $1,800 fine for a grade 1 dangerous contact. Victor Radley from the Roosters got $1,000 for a grade 1 dangerous contact. And then Jeremiah Nanai from the Cowboys got an $1,800 fine for a grade 1 dangerous contact. So, still a bit of spice as we're ending the season, Richie.
Yep, still a bit of spice.
And before we move on into you having to sell hundreds of names for try scorers, we'll just do a quick recap of the first round of the NRLW. So the Roosters defeated the Eels 38-16. Dragons defeated the Titans 26-12. And the Knights, with their new roster, upset the Broncos 32-14. And then this week for round 2, we have the Broncos, who are now currently 5th, against the first-place Roosters, the 6th-place Eels against the 3rd-place Dragons, and the 4th-place Titans versus the 2nd-place Knights. Did you get to watch any of these games, Richie?
The Knights-Broncos game, I was very impressed with them. Maybe we're seeing a changing of the guard. The Broncos have been one of the more dominant teams in the NRLW, so see the Knights, who are sort of highly touted with the signing of Millie Boyle. Brad's mate Millie, looks like they're going to be delivering this year.
Yeah, and their little half really impressed me. And then I looked afterwards and found she's a 17-year-old.
Yeah, crazy, eh?
Yeah, and she did really well. That was the only women's game I managed to watch all of during the weekend. But, yeah, as always, it's always a competition that gives quality football, which is great to see considering the lack of quality we're about to talk to. So I'll pass that on to you for the start of our recap of the round that was.
Thanks, mate. So, yeah, I feel like the reviews are going to be quite easy. I mean, I think a lot of teams were very good, very, very good. And the other side of the coin, there were the other teams were very,
really bad.
Really bad. But the first game was actually pretty competitive. So the Panthers getting up over the Rabbitohs 26-22. 4 tries apiece for the Panthers: Stephen Crichton, Dylan Edwards, Spencer Lenu, and Liam Martin to 4 tries from the Rabbitohs. Alex Johnson with a double, Cody Walker and Campbell Graham, who's returned from injury. I thought this was a cracker game, Brad. Very competitive. I don't think the Rabbitohs disgraced themselves at all, despite the loss. I thought they had a real good dig, but the Panthers really stood up for this one, showed what they're made of, and sealed that minor premiership.
Yeah, the first of only 2 close games this weekend. And, for the Panthers, I thought Dylan Edwards had another standout night. His growth this season has been outstanding. The Panthers just continue to roll forward despite missing players. And this was a game I expected them to lose. I got it wrong in my picks. But they just know how to get the job done regardless of who's there. So it was just a typical Panthers performance. The forwards built momentum, and then the spine got the team into scoring opportunities. Ivan Cleary, he had a bit of a masterstroke, I think. He moved Api Carousel to the bench. and then injected him into the side against tiring defenders, and it just split the difference apart. I don't think you're going to see that every week, but I think against the Rabbitohs, I don't think their interchange is as good as a lot of other teams up in that top echelon. So it is quite a good play to use. But yeah, great performance from Penrith. And for the Rabbitohs, it's the same thing I complain about almost every second week with them. They just made too many errors. We talked about Jackson Polo already. He dropped a few guaranteed tries, unfortunately. And if you take all those errors out of the game, I think they would have got the victory here. Once they get a taste of the dropsies, though, it kind of goes downhill for them. But to have an error-riddle performance and lose by 4 points against the Panthers, I would be very happy if that outcome happened this week for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. And once they're going to, you know, they're a finals team already. If they show respect to the ball a bit more in the playoffs, they're going to be a hard team to beat. Another case of the drop season, they might have an early exit. It's still a die in finals. So, but yeah, it was a great start to what was a horrible round.
Yeah, let's get into the first of those blowouts. Unfortunately, we were on the wrong end of it. Friday night game, Cowboys 48, Warriors 4. 8-1 for the Cowboys, Cohen Hess, Murray Taulagi, Jeremiah Nanai, Peter Hiku, Tom Dearden, Luciano Leilua, Tom Dearden again, and the Chad Townsend. Only the one try for Marcelo Montoya in the 33rd minute. where do you start, mate? I feel like the Cowboys did this with just such ease. They just marched through us and we didn't help ourselves. 12 errors. I felt like a few of those were our fullback. Like you said, we were texting amongst ourselves. He had a night to forget. So on top of a few errors, also a few bad missed tackles. And you go, mate. This was ugly to watch for me.
Yeah, so first full credit needs to go to the Cowboys. It was the first game at home since the passing of Paul Green, so you always knew they were going to step up for this one. Not that they need their second place, and they're second place for a reason. They were just relentless, though, and they kept punishing the Warriors, and it was just hard to watch. As I said to you, I was very tempted to change the channel, but we talk about it on the show. I was writing the live match report for Nothing But League as well, so I had to watch the whole 80. But yeah, Tom Dearden, Chad Townsend, they controlled the match to perfection. And the Cowboys just kept running in numbers. I think that was the biggest thing I saw. They always ran in numbers and killed the Warriors with support play. You saw on the other hand of it, the Warriors, I think Bunty Ofoa made a break and was on an island by.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Himself. Mm-hmm. And, as much as I love my front rowers, he's not a speedster by any strength of the imagination. So he should have had at least someone there with him to pass the ball to. And that was just the polar opposites these two teams are right now. Hard to fault any issues in the Cowboys' performance. They're just a good side. And the Warriors, I don't know where to start. Stacey Jones came out after the match and said that 8 or 9 guys didn't show up. And I have to agree, it looked like they just didn't want to be there and were going through the motions. Reece Walsh had a shocker. Questionable defense, poor handling, and so many times been found out of position in the defensive line. I think he's checked out personally. Do you think he should have been dropped this week? In my review, I said I would have Chanel back at fullback and drop Reese. Stacey read my review and said that's a great idea, and he kept Reese Walsh at fullback and he dropped Dejon Arcee.
I agree with you completely. Off the back of that performance, how could you not drop him? And Chanel, if you're going to bring Chanel Harris-DeVita back in, he's proved in the couple of times he's played fullback this year that he's very capable and actually performed quite well there. I just feel like Dejon doesn't deserve to.
Dejon created the only try in this game.
Yeah.
And for his efforts, he got dropped.
Exactly. You take it back a week before, too, and he was terrorizing the Bulldogs with some Matt Burton-like bombs. He's just got a lot of strengths to his bow that I feel like we could use, and it's such a shame. It looks like we're not going to extend and try and tap into that. Bless you.
One of the things I was going to say was this, I'm not sure checking it, but is checking out fair, or is it just what's, look, talk about a very young guy. He's going to be inconsistent anyway. For number one, he's not going to be consistent yet at this stage of his career. Secondly, he's clearly got a lot of things going on at the moment as well, the distractions off the pitch. We know that players who have distractions on the pitch rarely be able to find it harder to play on the pitch. So whether it's checked out, whether it's just other things going on, I think players do try. The voice of reason, yes.
You can hear the fatherly instinct in you there, Paul. I'm not his father. If you don't perform, you get dropped, in my opinion.
I'm not saying he should get dropped. I'm just saying the reasons behind his poor performances might not be the fact that he's checked out.
He's checked out. He's already got his Broncos jersey on under his Warriors one. We'll see. If he bounces back this week, full credit to him. He wasn't the only one, though. I don't want to make it sound like Walsh had a bad night, the Warriors lost. I had, apart from your usual suspects, like I had Adam Fanua-Blake was my Warrior of the Week, just based on his stats. He was second in the forwards and running meters, and he had no missed tackles, which was a rarity this week. But I also, we were talking during the game, Tom Ali, I like the look of him. He got more minutes this week. And
aggressive.
Yeah, he was aggressive. He looked like he actually cared, which was something we didn't see. Josh Curran had that effect too, judged by his frustration when he decided to have a go. He did it smart. That's how you do it. We need all the teams to write down. He basically had a go at the referee, but didn't get in trouble. He got penalized
indirectly.
For it.
He indirectly had a go. I love that.
Because of a call that I was on his side for. I thought it was the wrong call, and he basically just said, this happens to us every week, which is something all the Warriors fans have been saying. So it was nice to see it. I didn't like that there was a penalty, and then the Cowboys scored not long after. But seeing players like that actually caring is a big thing, especially when you've got nothing but pride to play for and a lot of guys aren't stepping up.
Let's touch on that call. What was going on there? I mean, he's got up to play the ball quickly. Isn't it the defender's responsibility to clear the ruck?
Yes.
I didn't see a knock on at all either.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was a big discussion in the house. It was Casey Badger was the upstairs official, and she's a real stickler for how the rules are set in the book. There's no gray area, so it's black or white. I didn't see a knock on. It didn't change the outcome of the game, so I'm not going to be pulling my hair out and screaming or anything.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was a bad call. And, the referee's explanation after the fact was that if the defender is in the way, you need to take a step back. I've never seen that in any game where a defender's in the way and the player gets told step back and play the ball. The defender has to get out of the way. or at least make an effort to get out of the way, not just sit there.
The ball carrier stands up and plays the ball on the spot. It's always been that way. You don't move off the mark to play the ball. It's been that way since the start of rugby league. The defender has to clear the ruck.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I really have to say about it. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sounding bitter.
We're almost at an hour already, Richie, and we're only two games in.
Let's move on to the next shellacking. Storm 60, Broncos 12. A big 10 tries to 2. Young Tunamapea, Tui Kamikamita, David Nofoluma, Cameron Munster, Harry Grant, Justin Ollam times 2, Jerome Hughes, Nelson Asofa Solomona, and David Nofoluma with another one. 2 tries for the Broncos, Kurt Capewell and Corey Oates. One of those was gifted too. Kurt Capewell's one was pretty much gifted from the Storm, so this was a spanking of the highest order.
Yeah, and I didn't see the score coming. You know, we predicted the Storm winning, but I didn't expect it to be by this big. No, we got points. Come on, Paul. I've got here, I don't have a lot. I've got Storm out of training run. They all look great. And it's making their losing streak look like a distant memory. Harry Grant was a constant threat, and the Storm forwards looked unstoppable. Munster and Hughes were just picking their shots all night. And the rest of the eight should be worried about the Storm side as they're building at the right time. Mm. Broncos are meant to be a top eight side, but didn't play like it. 15 errors and 66 missed tackles just isn't good enough. And this performance could have cost them a shot at the finals. They might lose the eight, depending on how the Raiders go. So this game here might have sealed their season. We just don't know yet. And that's all I have.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot either. I was just going to say maybe the Broncos are actually a bottom eight side that's been masquerading as a top eight side for a lot of the year. And the Storm appear to be back in a big way.
Yeah.
Which is pretty obvious by that scoreline. Next hiding. Eels 42, Bulldogs 6. Will Pennicini, Wonga Blake, Mike Siva, Ryan Madison, Tom Opacic, Dylan Brown times 2, and Wonga Blake with another try. And one sole try for the Bulldogs, Aaron Shoup. Yeah, go on, Brad. Another hiding, another lopsided game. Other Eels were great, by the way. The good Eels turned up, not the terrible Eels.
Yeah, third blowout on the row. Rinse repeat from the last one. Eels just had a training run, made it look easy. Dylan Brown was a nightmare all night for the Dogs, and Mitch Moses was decent as well. I'm still not sold on the Eels being title contenders, but if they can build on this performance, they could go deep. I feel like I say that every second week. Bulldogs got one try. It was nice off the back of a scrum.
Oh, it's lovely.
They were still in the match at halftime, but just didn't come out in the second half. Their defense was shocking. And they just didn't do anything with the limited ball they had. Disappointing for the Bulldogs fans to see their side lose by big margins 2 weeks in a row. You know, they lost 42-18 to us and then 42-6 against the against the Eels. So I think them, like many others, are just counting down to the off-season.
Yep. I'll agree with next. That, Brad. Next. Sharks, 40, Sea Eagles, 6. 7 tries to 1. Nico Hines, Royce Hunt, Matt Moylan, Matt Ikivalu, Nico Hines again, Brayden Nakora, Matt Ikivalu. 1 try for Manly, Dally Cherry Evans, the skipper. 22-0 at halftime. Stayed one-sided throughout. What's happened to Manly? Seems as though they've fallen off a cliff since the Pride jersey controversy.
Yeah, well, their finals hopes are now officially gone. Embarrassing defeat at home, and when you put into the thought that it was Kieran Foran's last game for Manly at home, I expected a bit more of an effort from the team. They just looked disinterested, which is a common theme this week. Sharks looked dangerous. Nico Hines and Matt Moylan were creating plenty of opportunities for the side to score, and it just looked like they're clicking, and it's another team that's building at the right time. And they could be dangerous and could go deep in the finals.
I think so, mate. I think they're definitely one of the Smokies. They're they just seem to have the hot hand right now. I know Manly aren't much chop at the minute, but still to go there to Brookvale. I think the Sharks have a terrible record there at Brookvale too.
Yeah.
I think they haven't won there in over a decade, I think, from memory.
It was something like that.
Was it 14 years or something like that? But yeah, the Sharks look like they're the Sharks of 2016, you know, that kind of definitely a premiership threat.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my work cut out for me in this next game. Roosters 72, Tigers 6, 12 tries to 1, Nat Butcher, Angus Crichton again, Nat Butcher again, James Tedesco, Connor Watson, Drew Hutchison, Nat Butcher again, Daniel Tupou times 2, Nat Butcher with his 4th, and Matt Lodge, the ex-Warrior, the ex-Warrior getting one in the 79th minute. One try for the Tigers, Brent Naden in the 72nd minute, but this was cricket score stuff. 54 missed tackles for the Tigers, 13 errors. They're just, yeah. Like, yeah. Everything you expect of the Tigers, but worse even.
Mm. Yeah, it was one-way traffic. Roosters were basically going a try a minute for the full 80. Mm. They all played well. James Tedesco, Angus Crichton, Nat Butcher were all stellar. Yeah, 4 tries for Butcher.
Luke Carey, too. I thought Luke Carey was fantastic.
Yeah, Luke Carey as well. If they keep playing like this, then you may still get your premiership contender prediction right. They might go all the way if they played like this against everybody. We'll see if they can replicate this form this week. But, yeah, Tigers, they were just woeful. It was heartbreaking to see, to be honest. And Tim Sheens and Benji have got a lot of work to do here. As we already talked about, James Tamo's send-off, I think it was just frustration.
Yeah, definitely.
I believe from a captain watching his side not show up, and the wooden spoon looks like it's heading their way.
Yeah. 12 from 12 from Sam Walker too. That's a hell of an effort to score 12 tries and kick every conversion.
Yeah.
The next game was Brad's favourites, the Dragons, getting up over the Titans, 46-26. I think Brad actually tipped this one. I tried to go the other way on this one to peg him back a bit, but it didn't work out. So 46-26, Dragons over the Titans. 9 tries to 4. Talatau Omone, Talatau Monga, Matthew Fungai, Jaden Sullivan, Jack Bird, Talatau Omone with another one, Talatau Monga with another 2, and Jack Bird. 9 tries. That's they're kind of lucky Zach Lomax missed 4 goals, the Titans.
Yeah,
four tries to the Titans. AJ Brimson, Ava Fifita, Bo Fuimore, and JoJo Fifita. Come on, Brad, you break down your favorite team for me.
Yeah, it was a big game from the Dragons here. Amone, as you said, he had a great game, and I think he's building form. Forget the NRL, he's building form for the World Cup, and yeah, he should be a shoo-in for the halves for Tonga. And if he can play like this for Tonga, it makes them a lot more dangerous. Nice hat trick from Moga. He's had a horrible run of injuries in his career. If kind of everywhere he goes, he seems to get plagued with injuries. But he showed how dangerous he can be when he's healthy. And I've always liked him. I've always thought he's a great player. So hopefully we see more of this from him. But yeah, good performance from the Dragons. Credit where credit's due. They played simple footy and it worked. Francis Molo got a red card, as we talked about earlier, for his high tackle. It didn't look good. And was reckless, but there was no malice, and I thought a yellow would have been enough. And I think 4 weeks, I thought of 4 weeks is a bit too much. You know, he's a big front rower. He was up against the winger that was running to the side. You stick an arm out, every prop's done it, you know. And when you're as big as he is, you know, you stick an arm out, any guy running as hard as they can, it's going to look bad. So yeah, I think maybe I would have gone 2 weeks. You know, rule them out for the season. But going into next year, I think was a bit too much for me. But I am a lot more lenient when it comes to these type of things and when it comes to front rowers. So I know I might be on my own in that opinion. But yeah, the Titans, they did look good in patches. They just don't know how to deliver an 80-minute performance. Jaden Campbell was busy out the back. Big Tino and Bo Fuma were did enough to keep their heads held high. I still want to see more out of Fifita, but he did score a nice try, which I think we say once every couple of weeks.
We said it last week too, didn't we? That's 2 in a row.
We did. That's 2 in a row. This is 2 in a row.
I'm going to nickname you Brad. It wasn't that bad, Anger. that was a shocking high tackle, mate.
It's all right. Look, if Paul didn't watch it, it was a head-high tackle ball, and it was against Patrick Herbert. and Patrick Herbert was on the ground complaining about his sore knee. So he wasn't even complaining about getting hit high. So, you know.
What's complaining got to do with getting hit in the head?
It's got everything to do with it, Richie. I don't know. I will always fight for the hard men of the game.
Fair enough. Love you, passion.
I don't know. Last game
was one of the only tight games of the round.
Yep.
Raiders getting.
Before we get to the last game, we're only 5 minutes away from the last, or a few minutes away from the last announcement. Get off that bench, boys. I want to say here, who are they announcing for their last signing? Is it the man or is it somebody else?
All right, I'll get off the fence. Cam Munster. Yep.
Cam Munster. Brad? I am going to say it's going to be I'm just looking at their team roster. I don't know who's off contract.
If they're going to make a big song and dance, it's got to be Munster.
I don't know who it's going to be, but it won't be Munster. I'm going to go there the opposite.
Won't be Munster. Okay, so you'll go for not Munster and a re-signing, or not Munster and a new face?
Not Munster and a re-signing.
We've got you both. Right, we'll check back in again in 8 minutes. I'll wait.
Yeah, I've got the Melbourne Storm website to my left refreshing all the time. So once that news is announced, we'll get there. But yes, Raiders Knights.
Last game, Raiders Knights. Raiders 28, Knights 22. 5 tries apiece for the Raiders. Sebastian Chris, Jordan Rapana, Sebastian Chris again, Hudson Young, and Jack Whiten. For the Knights, Edric Lee, Dominic Young times 2, Edric Lee with a second, and Jaden Brayley. A lot of try scorers getting multiples this weekend. 22-8 at halftime, Brad, and the Faders did a reverse fade.
Yep, just like they did when they defeated the Warriors. It was finally another close game. There was 8 games and we had 2 close ones, so that's good. Knights showed some spirit and looked like they were going to steal this match with, as you said, strong first half leading 22-8. Then they just didn't come out in the second half and the Raiders squeaked out a win. Dominic Young for the Knights, I thought, looked dangerous out on the edge. And I think he's really started to find his feet in the NRL. It was a bit of an adjustment coming from Super League. Traditionally, backs from the Super League don't do that well. In the NRL, it's normally the forwards that do well, but good to see he's a good talent, nice and big. I expect a bigger year from him next year. Everything appears to be falling apart for the Knights off the field right now, but if they can play like this for the final 2 games, it will at least be in a step in the right direction for them. Simon says this reverse fader hopefully it becomes a thing.
Yeah,
I hope so for you too. The Raiders, they keep their finals hopes alive. It looked lackluster in the first half. I thought they had blown their shot. But that second half effort was really top-notch. Hudson Young was great, and he's really turned his young career around after being tagged as a dirty player in the early stages. I think he's really become a linchpin in this Raiders forward pack. Jack Whiten was amazing. It was true vindication, I think, for Whiten to get him to score the match-winning try. Simon said he put his predictions in, but it's disappeared from the chat. Yeah, I haven't seen it. So if you can repost it again, because we'll need it. When Whiten plays well, the Raiders play well. I want to see them continue to win, because they need to win every game to make the 8. And I think it just makes for a great story to watch them sneak into the 8. But yeah, they just need to keep winning.
Absolutely. And it is a great story. And if they keep winning, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Broncos. And who doesn't love towards the end of the season, you know, getting down to the last game and having something on the line? Moment of the match for you, Brad. Surely the big bust from Papali'i and the try coming off the back of it. You got to love the props doing the damage like that, don't you?
He has 1 or 2 of those a year, so it is always good to see. It doesn't matter what club you play for. If you're a front rower and you make a break, I'm cheering you all the way. Unless it's against the Warriors.
Unless it's for the Dragons.
Well, I was just defending Francis Molo from the Dragons. So I have no standards.
I think that was more you defending thuggish behavior than defending a dragon's
defending
player.
Defending a dragon player, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the round. Yeah. Kind of lackluster, I guess, for a lot of teams, not really put in the effort. But
not if you're Simon. Simon bagged 8 from 8.
Yes, which we you're spoiling here. We'll go to our tips of the round, if Paul can bring it up. There we go. So, yes, Simon got the little gold banner for getting 8 out of 8. He nailed every game. I got one game wrong. I got the Rabbitohs Panthers wrong. And then, Richie, you got 2 wrong. You got the Rabbitohs game and the Titans game wrong. So what that means is I'm still leading 121 out of 176. Richie is behind me 118 out of 176. And Simon has narrowed that lead down. He's only behind Richie by 1 at 117 out of 176. So Richie's been doing all the mind games trying to get first place and forgetting that there's another person in this race. So Simon's coming with a wet sail from the back. And
some might say that first place is wrapped up and it's best of the rest that's been fought over.
I think so. I think I've done enough here to then I'll go and have a shocker in the finals. So it'll be an opposite of what we did last year, Richie, where you dominated the rounds and then I dominated the finals. But Simon's at least putting a spanner in the works, which is good to see. So that will move us on to the ladder. So if you can bring that one up for us, Paul. Not too many changes. The top 4 remain the same with the Penrith, Cowboys, Sharks and Storm taking that out. The Eels have moved up to 5th. The Roosters have moved up to 6th. The Rabbitohs have gone down to 7. And the Broncos have gone down to 8th. The Raiders stay where they are at 9th. The Dragons have gone up to 10th. Manly have gone down to 11th. Bulldogs stayed 12. Warriors stayed 13. Knights stayed 14. Titans stayed 15. And the Tigers stayed 16. And we talked about before the show, there's now only 9 teams in the race for the top 8. It's the top 8 we're talking about currently, and the Raiders. And I've actually got a little list here of the best and worst of where you can sit. So, Dragons, doesn't matter what happens, they're not making the 8. But mathematically, there are the Bulldogs, Warriors, Knights, Titans, and Tigers that all potentially could still be spoon winners. We talked about it before the show. We're basically taking the Bulldogs out of the equation due to the draw they have left and their points differential. So essentially it's Warriors, Knights, Titans, Tigers that could still get it. Interesting.
Make a call, Brad. Who's wrapping up 8th? Canberra Raiders last 2 games, Manly and Tigers, both very winnable with the form that the Seagulls and the Tigers are in. That's the Raiders. The Broncos last 2 games, Eels and Dragons.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are going to make it. I think the Raiders will go 2 from 2.
You think the Broncos will drop one, at least one of those games?
Yeah.
Yeah, very. Eels this weekend will be tough.
Yeah, I haven't picked the Broncos this week. Spoilers. I think that they're in trouble this week. And I am just writing down Simon's picks. Cheers for that, Simon. You've picked well this week. But we'll go into, so it's great news when innocent Ricky comes back. Yeah. So we'll go into questions. Were there any questions from anyone in the audience, Paul? Aha! We've got the last one.
We have. There are no questions in the audience. No, we're just been sort of chatting as you've been going along. So come on then. What is the announcement, Brad?
So, breaking news. As always, Brad is always on the money. we've got the 5th and final signing the Storm have announced tonight. They have signed Marion Sevi, a 2-year extension. Yeah.
So they announced all extensions. That was their big... That was their big song and dance for
their big song and dance this week was 5 extensions to potentially 5 guys who won't play first grade next year.
Yeah, so Munster to the Dolphins.
Well, Munster may still be signing, but I know it seems a bit cheap just doing it for the players they announced. But congratulations on all of them. for extending their time with the Storm. So yay. We delayed the show for that long for a big payoff at the end, and it blew up on our face, Richie. But we'll go with our questions. I'll let you go first because I've started the last 2 weeks.
Okay. So the final series are approaching pretty fast. I just easy one this week. Who's your tip to take out the Dally M Award for 2022, given what you've seen?
Oh, I don't know. I know before it went behind closed doors, Ben Hunt was leading.
Mm.
I can't really – he's had some good games and some bad games since then. I'm going to go outside of it, and I'm going to go with Nicho Hynes.
Cool.
My prediction is not valid, so I have to change it up at the last minute, and I panic. So, yeah, Nicho Hynes, did you have Nicho as your predicted one to start the year?
No, I think I had him as my
Cleary.
Best new signing. I had Cleary. Yeah. I think maybe I had Nicho as the best new signing.
Yep, you did. And I had Aaron Penny looking back, so that's a bust. sorry. We'll cover all those at a later episode. Going off track.
I think Nicho Hynes has a good shot. So if you have any other smokies, because I think Ben Hunt is a very good shot too. I mean, given that he plays for the Dragons and he's probably best on field every week for them.
Yeah, I think Ben Hunt's still in the running. I just don't know. There's a few weeks where he might not have done well, but yeah.
Someone like Dylan Edwards has to be in the running too. And look, Cleary actually has had a fair bit of time off. I know I predicted him start of the year. But he's actually had a bit of time off this year, and Edwards has been supreme every game.
Yeah, but we'll obviously get to talk about that close to the time. But yeah, so we'll put our line in the sand there. But my question for you, Stacey Jones came out and said that 8 or 9 of the Warriors players had a poor attitude and weren't playing for the jersey. If you were in charge, how would you fix the attitude issue, if it can be fixed?
You just got to stamp it out, mate. If I'm coaching a side that I believe a number of players are playing with poor attitude and not playing for the jersey, I don't give them a jersey the following week until they prove to me that they're willing to fight for the jersey. That should be a bare minimum if you want to play for the Warriors or any of these NRL teams, you know?
Any NRL team, yeah.
It should be bare minimum. You go out there and you put in maximum effort. You may not win every game, but you should play with heart and you should play for the jersey. If you're not showing me that, I'm not selecting you.
I'm gonna cheat because I thought it was a good statement in my review about it. So I'm just going onto my website to have a look. Honestly, I can't find it. Here we go. I'm not a coach, but I'd rather see a player with less talent who gives 100% over a superstar just going through the motions. A team of champions, not a champion team type scenario. But I know that Stacey kind of came out and made an excuse that they just don't have enough healthy players right now. They've already made changes. Jack Murchie got injured. Ewan Aitken's out for personal reasons, so they had to make some changes. Positive note on that. I know you guys don't care, but Ben Murat-Basila is back in the 17. So I'm happy. My boy is back after, you know, that horrible elbow dislocation. But, I think changes, young guys, just throw them in. If I'd rather have a guy that wants to play than a guy that's just out there because you've told him he has to play.
Mm.
But, yeah, that's why we sit here and talk about it here and we aren't first-grade coaches, I guess.
Especially when there's not really anything to play for either.
Yeah.
These last
games. Yeah.
So give some guys some experience out there.
Yeah. But yeah, that Stacey is not gone with that. I'll send him my reviews again. Hopefully he'll take more notes. But
you see what happens when you hand a young guy that's itching for game time, like we talked about, Tom Marley. He looked like he wanted to take that opportunity with both hands and play with hunger.
Yeah.
What reward that? That's what I want to see rewarded.
Yeah. But we'll go into our round 24 if Paul can bring out the fixtures. Simon's already given me his tips here, and he's knocked it out of the park again. That's the ladder, Paul. There we go. So I'll get your picks as we go through, Richie. So first up on Thursday, we have the Broncos and Eels. Simon and myself have both picked the Eels.
Yep, Parramatta.
You're going with the Eels as well. Next up, we have the Panthers and Warriors. Simon and myself have both gone with the Panthers.
I'm steering clear of the TAB on this one, I tell you that much is for sure. Panthers.
It's not being traded when we're honest, Paul. Next up, we have the Storm and Roosters, which potentially could be the game of the round. Simon and myself have both gone with the Storm.
Yeah, I'm going to go Roosters.
Roosters.
This is potentially going to throw me in last place, but
we'll see. It's not a bad estimate. It could happen. You never know. Next up, we have Raiders Seagulls. Simon's gone.
Just showing you what's under Richie's hood, beanie.
Sorry, I got that wrong. Sorry, I got it wrong. Simon went with the Roosters. I misread it.
Oh, good.
Sorry. Apologies, guys. So he went with the Roosters. I went with the Storm on my own. He went with the Raiders, and I went the Raiders, and the Raiders versus Seagulls clash.
Yes, Raiders. Raiders for sure.
Yep. So, yeah, apologies, Simon. It looked like I might have been trying to screw out of points there. I fixed my error. Next up, we have Sharks Bulldogs. We both went with the Sharks.
Yeah, it's got to be Sharks.
Got to be Sharks. Next up, Rabbitohs Cowboys. We both went with Rabbits.
Yeah, I'd be tempted to go Cowboys, but with dead and busting his nut, I think, Rabbits.
I went with Home Factor as well. I was really stuck on that one. Then we have the Tigers Dragons. I have picked the Dragons, so has Simon.
You picked the Dragons.
Simon's just come back and said he meant Storm.
Yeah.
Man, I'm having to cross this off and then cross it back. So, yeah, you're back with Storm with me there. So you went Dragons, sorry?
Yeah, how could you tip the Tigers?
You can't right now. And Titans Knights was this really hard. Simon and myself have both gone Titans.
I'll go the other way then.
Knights? Yeah. It's really tough. I don't know.
Both horrible teams.
Yeah. So, yeah, there we go. So the only difference, there's no difference between me and Simon, and you are different on the Roosters and the Knights. So you potentially might equal or get ahead of Simon, or Simon could leapfrog. Yeah. We'll see. Make it interesting for next week. But before we sign off, we have Super League. So no changes in the top four of the Super League. St. Helens still first, Wigan second, Huddersfield third, and Catalans fourth. Wakefield managed to get a win, which also sees them make the gap between them and Toulouse 6 points. So as Simon said, it's almost all but guaranteed Toulouse will be relegated unless they have a last-minute decision to have an expansion to keep them up. So if they don't decide to expand it, Toulouse are going down. In the down competition, the Betfred Championship, the Lee Centurions, who were the team that were relegated last year, they broke their club record with a 100-4 win over York City.
Yeah, got the century.
I thought, even though we don't talk about that lower grade competition over there, I thought I had to mention it due to them deciding they wanted to do a bigger score than what the NRL can do. Going over the games quickly, Huddersfield defeated Castleford 36-10. Wakefield defeated Hull FC 26-18. Leeds defeated Warrington 24-18. St. Helens defeated Hull KR 38-12. Wigan, wanting to stick that knife in Toulouse, they won 52-6. And so I said, there's only two teams in that grade. Come on, there's a few more than that, isn't there? And Catalans lost to Salford 46-14, which means we go into round 25. There's Leeds versus Huddersfield, Wakefield versus Hull KR, Salford versus Hull FC, Warrington versus Castleford, Toulouse versus Catalans, and Wigan versus St. Helens. So that should be the match of the round there, number one and two going against each other. There's a few other good clashes there. I feel sorry for Toulouse having to go up against Catalans. Might be a tough night at the office for them. But anything else you want to add before we go off, Richie?
As always, mate, thanks to you. Thanks to the viewers for the discussion and Paul for his fantastic work, as always.
Definitely. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in tonight and joining us on the Standoff with Brad and Richie. And before I finish here, Simon said there's only two teams of money. And it's basically there are more teams, but there's two teams that are actually competitive due to the money, which is my problem with promotion relegation. But we won't go on and on about that right now. But thank you for joining us on the Standoff with Brad and Richie for your weekly update for Rugby League. Tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Thanks again, Richie, for joining me and Paul for all your hard work out the back. And good night, everyone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.